It was 4 years ago tomorrow that the earth ruptured beneath the Indian Ocean. The result was an earthquake. That triggered a tsunami that killed more than 230,000 people. Many of those who died had lived in the Indonesian province of Aceh. That's on the northern end of the island of Sumatra. Shortly after the tsunami, reporter Jocelyn Ford went to the provincial capital, Banda Aceh. She recently went back, and she has this update on the international community's massive recovery effort.
When I arrived in Banda Aceh 6 days after the tsunami, the rescue operation was in full swing.
This place looks like it was hit with an atomic bomb. That's the best way I can describe it.
People are walking around like zombies, like the living dead.
I'm telling you, it's chaos. It's chaos right there.
Everyone was exhausted.
Sleep 2 hours a day, that's it. I'm sure you're getting more sleep than me.
Tractors were clearing wreckage from roads. Volunteers from all over Indonesia were streaming in to do some of the most grisly work.
Smell the body? You smell the bad smell? That's bad smell. That's the body, I'm sure. Under this concrete, under this garbage.
Ahmadi had arrived from Jakarta to help comb the wreckage for corpses and give them a proper burial. He recalled the first time he saw a woman's body in the street, her dead child held tightly in her arms.
So I imagine when the disaster came and how she tried to save her child, but she gave up and they died together. Oh my God, I'm crying.
4 years later, from the back of a motorcycle, I can barely recognize any of the places I visited back then.
Last time I was here, there was a house sitting right smack in the middle of this road, and right now, it's turned into a sort of a normal neighborhood with little coffee shops.
The vista of splintered homes, fallen trees, and crumpled cars has been replaced by rows of tiny houses built by the Indonesian government and aid organizations from around the world. About $7 billion is being spent on rebuilding Aceh. 124,000 homes have been constructed. About 900 families are still living in emergency shelters, but the government says the remaining homes are scheduled to be completed early next year. U.S. diplomat Sean Stein says, today, the province has better infrastructure than it had before the tsunami struck.
Despite the tragedy, you know, of losing family and maybe jobs and your home, if you look at things like, you know, the number of miles of paved road, the number of trained teachers, things like that, all of those numbers are much higher now than they were. And so I think that's the big success. Many people didn't predict that that would happen as well as that it did.
People like 49-year-old Dharmawati. I first met Dharmawati about 10 days after the tsunami, picking through the wreckage near where her house had once been. Still in shock, she showed me her wounds and told me how she had survived by clinging to the top of a palm tree. She told me she'd lost her husband and 4 of her 5 children. The only survivor was a daughter who'd been away at school. She said she wanted to leave Banda Aceh forever. This year, I went back to look for her.
Does she still live here?
To my surprise, I found her not too far away from where we first met.
Dharmawati! How are you?
I am very well.
Dharmawati told me the story of how, with help and a lot of guile, she's cobbled together a new house and a new life. The Indonesian government threw up a temporary house on her land, but it was made out of asbestos. Not long after, it literally blew away in a storm. Roof and all.
Including the roofs and everything gone because of the wind.
Next, the government helped put up a temporary wooden house. When she demanded something more permanent, as she was entitled to, she was told she already had a roof over her head. So she turned to a relative working for Muslim Aid. Thanks to that connection, the organization built her 2 sturdy rooms out of concrete. She's added a kitchen and is now building a living room just off of the only part of the house that survived the giant wave.
So this is the original floor, huh?
And for the first time since she got married, she's been working. For a while, she had an office job with a foreign aid agency. A Christian aid group taught her how to bake cakes and start a small business. She's now saving money to open a roadside cake stand. Yuanda, a spokesman for the government reconstruction agency, says her experience is typical for widows.
The tsunami also creating the new spirit to survive, yeah. Many women, yeah, they would like to be more independent, yeah.
Foreign governments and aid groups played an important role. They built about two-thirds of the houses and helped provide temporary jobs and training. John Augsburger of Oxfam says its $100 million effort in Aceh was its biggest ever.
The generosity and concern globally was overwhelming, and what do you say? It was heartfelt, it was the best of humanity, and it was the best of human response to others in tragedy.
But there were plenty of glitches transforming that generosity and goodwill into help for the people who needed it most. One of the more striking sights today is how many of the houses built for tsunami survivors are empty. 25%, according to government statistics.
Normally in humanitarian responses, the issue of identifying beneficiaries is critical. And it's somewhat complex. And to identify and be clear that those who are receiving aid are, for lack of a better term, those who deserve it.
But that didn't always happen in the rush to rebuild Aceh. There were problems with planning. Some houses still don't have water or electricity. Others were built for orphans who went to live with relatives, and others, like in Dharmawati's neighborhood, went to people because they had connections. Dharmawati pointed to three empty houses behind hers. She says they belonged to people who'd moved away from the village before the tsunami, but were friends of the village chief. She says the chief himself has four houses. Meanwhile, she's taken in her nephew because her brother-in-law has yet to get a permanent home. He doesn't want to live in the temporary one built on his land, and the village chief refuses to add his name to the list of people waiting for permanent houses. But despite all that, Dharmawati says she's satisfied with the reconstruction effort. Had it not been for the international aid organizations, she believes the process would have taken much longer, and she, too, might still be waiting in line for a house. For The World, I'm Jocelyn Ford in Banda Aceh, Indonesia.